And this is why the service we just came out of is so important. Every Christian ought to have what we call personal devotions, because the most important thing in life, the most important thing in life is not family. It is not gaining money and houses and lands and cars. That's what the devil tells you. That's what the world tells you. That's what the media tells you. It's not about looking better than others. It is about your personal relationship with the Lord, the God who made you. And that's why personal devotions, and family devotions, church devotions throughout this plague pandemic, I have encouraged pastors to have church-wide devotions. You know why? Because most people don't have devotions. God led me to create a devotional service. We call it the Standing Between the Living and the Dead Prayer Devotional Memorial Evangelistic Service. God led me to do that a little while after the plague set in last March. And I think we just experienced day 499, is that correct, or 500? 499. We just had our 499th Standing Between the Living and the Dead service. I think that it might be fitting that we do service number 500 in a different way tomorrow. So let's pray about that and prepare for that. But that's the most important thing, knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, getting saved from your sins and from the punishment of sin forever in hell, and then having a relationship with the Lord. One of the best things you can get going in your family is to help everybody and to encourage everybody to have a personal relationship with the Lord. And so I said all of that to say this: you take the song Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. It has a way of reminding you to keep the main thing, Rescue the Perishing, Fanny Crosby wrote. Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. Switch the third to the first, Rochelle to the first, and that one to the third. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. That song, that hymn, written by Fanny Crosby, reminds us of what the main thing is. This is the reason why we have services like this. This is the reason why God wanted you to meet on a regular basis. Because we have, because of our wicked, sinful nature, we have a tendency to forget the main thing. We can be in a service on Sunday, and Sunday night we have already forgotten the main thing. We were stirred mightily on Sunday morning, and then Sunday evening we're doing only God knows what, and have forgotten the main thing. That's how easily we get turned by the devil and the flesh and the world. And so we need to be constantly reminded. And no doubt this is one of the reasons why God said, pray without ceasing. Meditate on my word all day. Keep your mind stayed on me and I'll keep you in perfect peace. Ladies and gentlemen, let's remember to keep the main thing, the main thing, and do what God has commanded us to do. For those of you who don't know, I pray a confession for all Christians every day. God, please have mercy and grace upon us, and please forgive us of our sins of disobeying the great commandment and the great commission. I believe that if we had just done those two things, we would be in a better situation with God today. So please stand with that said, and turn your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 13. But we're going to go on down to verse 36. We're going to read there today, as we know this parable quite well by now, hopefully. As I continue to preach in your hearing, in the overall theme of what we're doing, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. You say, preacher, why are you doing this? Well, over 2,000 people are dying a day. That's why. The world is not going to tell you that. The news, they're not going to tell you that. You must understand that, let me help you. Things are not what they seem, people. You have to understand that. As Christians, you need to pray for discernment and understanding of what's going on. We would all love for things to be what they seem. But because we are all sinful beings with a sinful nature, sad to say, even the best of us can be convinced to go in an evil way or be bribed to go in an evil way, or some people like to be in the in-group. Some people like to be in the in-crowd so much that they will do away with all morals and character and join the in-group and do whatever they say. So, sad to say, as you should know by now, that's blatant now, so-called independent journalists and news agencies are compromised. They're on either the Democrat side or the Republican side, and they say what they're told to say. And they don't say what they should say, because they want to stay in good with the people in power. So understand that. please don't be duped into thinking that things are what they appear. A news article came out just a day ago on how now the Supreme Court is looked down upon. And I believe that the Supreme Court is looked down upon now and not respected as it used to be, because they did something they know they should not have done. They participated in the sanctioning of the abomination of homosexuality. And homosexual marriage, or so-called same-sex marriage, which is, there's no such thing in the history of the world. They know better, because all law is based upon the Word of God. They know better, all of them. None of them were raised that way. And so you reap what you sow in God's economy, and you can mark that down. It never fails. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man or a woman soweth, that shall they also reap. The terrorists among us, or the terrorists in our midst, part 6. The Just Jesus, in the purpose of the parables. Part 15, the Just Jesus evangelistic campaign bus rolls on. All these other campaigns extend out from the Just Jesus evangelistic campaign. Day 1711, since, that's 1,711 days since January the 20th, 2017. Day 2096 since January the 1st, 2016. Matthew chapter 13, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The harvest is the end of the world. Please do not forget, Solomon tried to tell you, the wisest man who ever lived, that everything is going to come to an end one day. And Jesus says that right here. And the reapers are the angels. Make no mistake about it now. This world we're in, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God told Noah in the rainbow sign, it won't be water, but fire next time. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall, Jesus is telling you what's going to happen, so you better get ready. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Holy Father God, we thank you for the earlier prayer meeting. Please hear and answer all of our prayers that we have already prayed this morning. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for the millions and many and manifold blessings you've bestowed upon us. Now, Lord, I pray that you will continue to have mercy and grace upon us. And for those of us who are saved, help us to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways and repent. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of all of our sins. Cleanse us and make us whiter than snow on the inside. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us, Lord, and fill us all who are saved with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit to read your Holy Word and to preach your Holy Word. And Holy Father God, I pray that you will indeed demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Have your Holy Spirit to work mightily in the hearts of those who don't believe in you yet, Lord Jesus. Open their blinded eyes and stop their deaf ears and save their souls. Move upon their hearts in such a way that they will allow you to rescue them and save them. Glorify your holy name, lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts. Lord, from this time together, have it to go the way you want it to go. Glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, right here, straightforward, very, very low, okay? And Dr. David Guzik said, the tares represent false believers in the church and in the world. The sons of the wicked one, who, like tares among wheat may superficially look like God's true people. The tares they may look like God's people, but they're not. In our last messages in this series, we began looking at how we must beware of counterfeit Christians. This has not been preached on much over the past 30 to 50 years because we've been more concerned about numbers and getting that money in the church. And so many tares have come in among us. And Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, Satan cannot uproot the plants, the true Christians, the wheat. He can't do it. You say, preacher, have you ever thought about quitting on Jesus? Never. I've heard some people have. I've never thought about that. And the transparent ones who said they have, they will come back and preach a message like Dr. Raymond Hancock did many years ago at Baptist University of America. He said, this happened to me. It was coming from the book of Job, one of the greatest messages I've ever heard. He said, my son rebelled against me, and my wife and I were not getting along, and the folks were leaving the church, and he said he thought about quitting. But after reading the Bible and reading about Job, he came up with a title of a message that says, I think I'll go on anyhow. And that's what true born-again Christians will do. See, and let me tell you people, some of you folks are worried about these so-called Christians, you running after them and you begging them and pleading with them to act right and appeasing them. These people are not saved. You're wasting your time. Saved people have a different heart, a different spirit, a different mindset. You don't have to beg them to serve God. You don't have to plead with them to do right as far as serving God. You don't have to hope they do the right thing and so forth. You don't have no. Mm-mm. Truly born again one day, the true wheat, you don't have to worry about them. And the devil knows he cannot uproot them. He might be able to shake and bake them, but He can't knock them out. They may falter, they may fall. But like one evangelist, Carl Hatch, preached down in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. He ran back and preached a message title, You Can't Keep a Good Man Down. And you can't keep a good woman down. People who are truly saved, people who are truly born again, they may fall, they may falter, they may slip, they may seem like they're almost gone, but they always rise back up. God's people, they rise up again. That's what we do. You may level us almost to the ground, but we're gonna ride right on back up. Devil. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I remember in New York, my dad and mom, they were so, in those days, back in the 60s, they were so keen, as most black people were, of giving their children what they didn't have, and basically they were living their lives, their childhoods through us. And they bought me a little man. You blow them up and you have some sand in the back, sand at the bottom that will hold them down. And I was supposed to punch that man, and I punched him. But that man, that little man, would ride right on back up and look me in the face. That's how we are as born again Christians. Just like that little airfield man with the sand at the bottom. You can knock them down. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You had one too. You can knock them down, but they're going to ride right back up. What? See, that's what our Savior did. They knocked him down, but he rose. You understand me? I don't understand Christians who don't rise back up. I don't. I thank God for all the pastors who have a pastor's heart. They're more patient with you. And that's good. It may take you some days and weeks and months to rise back up. I don't know. But I'm used to Christians rising back up and moving on. Let's get the job done for the glory of God. Satan cannot uproot true Christians, born again ones who truly believe in Christ. Is impossible. If he could have uprooted me, he would have done it a long time ago. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to keep on. And he's mad at me right now for what I'm doing. He's pulling out all the stops to try to get me to quit. So he plants counterfeit Christians in their midst. He can't root them up. He can't touch them. He can't get them and knock them out for the most part. But he will put some counterfeit Christians in the midst. And oftentimes, these counterfeit Christians, they always question things. They always have a stank look on their face and in their eyes. They're always looking across the room, trying to make other people be just as mean and evil and nasty as they are. And they give off a demonic spirit, an attitude that... And the Bible talks about being taken by a root of bitterness, where others are defiled by that root of bitterness. And there are some people, some of these counterfeits, they're just like a skunk. They come in and they get around certain ones and stink them up. Before you know it, these other people are smelling like a skunk themselves. There's some people who specialize in this. They look for the disgruntled. They go for the ones who are easily influenced, and try to turn them against God, against the Word of God, and against even their parents. If you're in a church that turns you against your parents, you're in the wrong church. Your parents raise you for the Lord, and to serve the Lord, and you left on good terms, but all of a sudden now you hate your parents. You can't speak to your parents because the church has told you not to. You're in a cult, and you need to get out of it. By the way, in this parable, the good seed is not the word of God, which in a sense, of course, it is. It represents people converted through trusting the word of God, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, is sowing true believers. Christ is sowing true believers in various places that they might bear fruit. And this is so true. God, Jesus Christ, He's sowing the seed in the world. But He has chosen us. One of the most marvelous things that I've seen over the past 41 years is how God calls people to different little niches and cities and states and countries, and it's just amazing how God calls people to go and do. Jesus Christ directs people, His people, to go to some of the strangest places. You would be amazed if you took a tour of missionary fields at the people that God has called to some of the most difficult places to represent Him. And they're just as called as I am. And they know it. But wherever Christ sows a true Christian, now hear this, Satan comes and sows a counterfeit Christian. Now notice the devil, he can't create anything of his own, so he just copies. He's a copycat. We must be aware of Satan's counterfeits. And God allows you to be aware. You just can't pull them up. If you get a check in your spirit after you have tried the spirits, if you get a check in your spirit every time this person comes around, it's not quite right. They say the right things. They know how to shake hands as Christians do and so forth. But if you get a check in your spirit and God has put that check in your spirit about that person and told you to watch that person, that's what you better do. Don't be accepting people hook, line, and sinker. And that's what's wrong with the church today. We got pastors who act like they don't know. They do know. If they're truly called by God, they can tell. Not only pastors, but there are other people in the church who have discernment that you can shake a person's hand and you can say, you know, glad to have you, and so forth and so on, but you got to watch them. You might have to feed them out of a long-handled spoon because something's not quite right. And they come in as wolves in sheep's clothing, and they wreak havoc in the church. These counterfeits, you will always see them at the bottom of some mess. In most cases, they will always have a stink face, like they don't like something. I was watching a service some time ago. and everybody was singing, and everybody was, you know, into it and praising the Lord. But there was one woman there who had a stink face the whole time they were singing this certain song. I'm not going to name the church or the pastor. He was up there singing. But I noticed there was one woman. Everybody was just happy and praising the Lord. But there was one woman who had a stink face and sending off a message like, I don't believe this. Something is wrong here in this church, kind of a thing. And she stayed that way the whole time. And there was a blessed song that was being sung, and just a wonderful attitude and spirit among the people. But this one person looked like she was mad as the devil. These people always, you know, they quench the spirit. They grieve the spirit. They're never for God's work going forward and getting the gospel to people. They're not excited about people getting saved. They get depressed if God works a miracle in the service. They get depressed about it. They're not happy about it. They have a stink look on their face. They don't rejoice at what God does. But do you know that God still works miracles in spite of them in the church and in your family? I know this is hard to believe. But see, by the grace of God, He saved my soul. He called me to preach. I finally submitted, because the last thing on earth I wanted to do was preach like my dad. I never wanted to be a preacher as a boy or as a teenager. In fact, I despised preachers and hated my dad for no reason other than the fact that he was a preacher. He called me to preach, and then after I think a couple of years at Baptist University of America, he called me full time. He wanted me to be full time as an evangelist, which nobody in my family has ever done that before. I never even heard of anything like that, being full time as a preacher. I'm like, what are you talking about? Everybody, all the preachers I know, they had a job, and there's nothing wrong with that. But God called me full time and told me, and I never heard of anything like this before. He told me, here's how he called me. He said, Daniel, somebody needs to be full time for me. And I want you to do that. So I was full-time preaching the gospel before I met my wife. And my idea of marriage at the time was, and still is, that if she chooses to marry me, then she is here to help me preach the gospel. That is, to help me and the family and do what she needs to do. And this is the truth. Now, like I said, she has improved some and she does better now. So I was full time throughout the whole past 33 years. I've been full time preaching the gospel. And I've seen this, and I'm sharing it with you because you need to understand this. When you're dealing with these people who are tares in the church and counterfeits, truly not saved. And this is the truth. My wife never got excited about all of the evangelistic campaigns that we did. She acted like she despised them. Now, true preachers, they can't say it because they're afraid of what their wife might do. I'm not afraid of anybody. In fact, there are men who are more afraid of their wives than they are a man in the street with a gun. And this is a fact. My children have witnessed it. Her whole countenance would change. Anytime it was time to pass out gospel tracts or to witness, she was never an encouragement to me for over 33 years. She's right here today. She's right here today helping me do this now. Is she excited about doing it? No. Never has been. See? And I know you sweet little evangelicals out there don't want to hear that, because that does not fit your little thing and your little lies that you tell. Your wife is a witch, but you call her your honey bunch in front of the people and all of that. And you got a girlfriend on the side. Do not bother me, because I don't have a girlfriend on the side. I don't have a side piece. You do. And you use that as a coping mechanism, instead of telling the truth. Okay? And I'm not mad at her or anything. I've just seen her as Paul talked about, a thorn in the flesh. And you have people in your family, and you have people in your church who are that way. If we went to Chuck E. Cheese, or we went to someplace exciting or whatever. Oh, she was all for that. She was excited about that. Just grinning from ear to ear. But then when it came down to doing service for the Lord, or doing church work, or having an evangelistic campaign, no. And this is why I tell you, you can't fake it. And I'm not mad at her. She's helping right now. She helped me this morning in the previous service. She puts on my clothes every day. And gets my clothes down and then helped me put them on. As I am an older man now, I can put them on, but I let her do it. It's easier, quicker. For my birthday, the triple birthday, she fixed a great meal for me and for my youngest children, and for everybody to enjoy. She baked me some cookies yesterday, so I'm not mad at her about it. And some of y'all think you can't say anything. You can't say anything, Nick. Oh, she's going to react this way. I don't care how she reacts. You shouldn't care. You need to speak the truth. And it's all designed to help you at this point. Because in a few days, we're going to be celebrating 34 years of marriage. How are you doing? Divorce is not in our future. It is not, as Dr. Rodney Queen said, it's not an option. And yet she can leave anytime she wants. And I can too. But I'm trying to help you. Don't worry about us. See. You need to worry about yourself. And by the way, where's your wife? Sir? Preacher? Pastor? Where is she right now? And where's your husband at? See. You might be dealing with the same situation. You just act like you didn't know, or you didn't know, and you just trying to appease the person and making the situation worse. Did I appease my wife? No. Did my dad, Daniel White Jr., appease His wife, yes, and it was a total disaster. Total disaster. And I love my dad, but she ran all over him, trying to appease her. Every time he tried to do something for the family, like go on, you know, back in those days, the white folks would get in the car after church on Sunday and go for a ride out in the country. That, you know, that was the thing to do back in those days. You were doing something. And my dad would do that and try to do that and make it a fun time and so forth. And my mother would just make it a disaster. You should have turned here. We in the back seat. You understand? I'm talking about reality. This actually happened for the past 33 years. And to this day, she's not that excited about serving the Lord and doing things for to get the gospel out. But over the years, she realizes I'm not playing and I'm not quitting. And I'm going to keep on preaching and I'm going to keep on doing what God leads me to do, whether you like it or not. My point is, she has witnessed without helping me, see, without supporting me as she should have. Without helping me, not helping me and the children as she should. So, and what has happened is that she witnessed, and she'll say this to this day, she witnessed God work miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, thousands of miracles and answers to prayer. She witnessed it. And one of the reasons why she is still here today and helping me in the ministry right now is because she has witnessed God answer my prayers even when she was not praying with me. She has seen God work miracle after miracle. She has told me she marvels at what God has done in my life in spite of her. And I believe that's one of the reasons why she's still here, because she knows there's a God. She knows there's a God in heaven. She may not know him personally. I hope she does. I pray that she does. And this is why, and what I'm sharing with you, I'm trying to help you to understand, this is what you have to deal with when you're dealing with a counterfeit Christian. They will stand by and let you serve God and not help. And not only not help, hope it fails. See? This is what I'm telling you, people. And now if you would meet her, you would not think she was that way. You would think that she's a meek and quiet, sweet person. And see, the whole time I understood the devil was behind it. My children witnessed this. My children stood with me and supported me. And thank God for children who have pure hearts, especially when they're younger. Thank God for the fact that when they become older and they're out on their own, they appreciate what you taught them and what you... how you train them, and then they support you still on out there on their own, because they know what you're dealing with. And see, some of you women, I can't believe he's saying that about her publicly. No, what you can't believe is that, and what you don't want to happen is your husband do that to you. And tell the truth about you. You because you're evil and you're wrong and you have not done what you should have done. See, and you're used to, and you want your husband to cover up all of your Jezebel foolishness. That's why you feel the way you feel. See, and what you should get out of this is, and some of you are, and I thank God, you know what, I better be a support to my husband and take care of my children and be what I should be. That's what you should be getting out of this. You don't need to worry about us. You need to be concerned about yourself before you lose your husband that you probably have already lost, because you have put Jezebel fear in him. He can't say anything about you or to you. And you fly off the handle. He's afraid of you. So that's why he's got Sweetback Sylvia across town. And he justifies it because you act like a witch in the house. You don't respect him. She does. That's the way. That's why you don't feel sorry for my wife. You feel sorry for yourself. See, we're here to help you. And my wife is the one who wrote the article the Father's Day that she apologized to me and to our children for not being the wife and mother that she should be. And God showed me some time ago that I should try to lead her to the Lord, because she may not be saved. Because at a certain point, you're going to go to a certain point where you just go ahead on and obey God. He has counterfeit Christians who believe a counterfeit gospel. He encourages a counterfeit righteousness, you know, doing good in the flesh, and even has a counterfeit church. At the end of the age, he will produce a counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist. We must also stay awake to make sure that Satan's, you want to be woke? Well, this is where you need to get woke at, because this is your main problem. You have a bunch of devils in the church, and as long as they're paying money, you're letting them stay there. You're in cahoots with the terrorists, trying to impress your brethren. We must also stay awake to make sure that Satan's ministers do not get into the true fellowship and do damage. This is the job of the pastor, and many have not done a good job. They're just hirelings, and they've allowed and have invited the devils in there. They're not going to invite a person who's going to tell the truth. They have allowed and invited the terrorist preachers in there to preach foolishness and to harm the true believers. It is when God's people go to sleep that Satan works. And that is what has happened over the past 30 to 50 to 60 years. The church has been sleeping on the prosperity gospel yacht, which is sinking. And I'm calling on Dr. T.D. Jakes, Dr. Joyce Myers, and Dr. Joel Osteen. Benny Hinn started it, and these are three people who I don't believe fit the bill of the demonic I said demonic prosperity gospel preachers. If there ever was a time for these preachers to shut down the prosperity gospel once and for all, that time is now. And they ought to start by rebuking Kenneth Copeland, Jesse DuPlantis, asking for a doggone plane while people are losing their houses. Some of the same people who used to give them a $1,000 seed offering. They need that $1,000 back, Jesse. You don't need no plane. Kenneth Copeland, y'all just trying to start some mess up against some prosperity gospel foolishness for yourselves. That's not contrary to what people think. That's not T.D. Jakes. That's not George Myers. That's not even Joel Osteen. Now, Joel Osteen may be the softer side of Sears, and that's all right. But that's not what he's about. Go ahead and kill it now. Kill it now. The church will not go on unless you kill that. Dead. That needs to die too. Of the coronavirus plague, if you will. The problem is, pastors have a pastor's heart. They're very loving and very patient, and they give people the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, plus if they're friends with them and so forth and so on. This does not mean T.D. Jakes does not have a plane. But he's not going to get on television, and he's not going to be misusing money to get a plane. Plus, he has his own enterprises that can buy the plane, separate from the church. But he's not going to, in the midst of a plague, go out here talking about, I need $1,000,000 for a plane. This is ridiculous. It's not in him to do that. So they need to, as people who are close to those folks, but not of them, they need to put this to rest. And that includes Creflo Dollar as well. Anyway, Jesus told us that not everyone who calls him Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. By the way, this is one of the most frightening verses in the Bible. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian is of Christ. Jesus said that. We must be on guard against the tares that seek to corrupt and to destroy the church. Those of us who are saved, I call on Dr. T.D. Jakes. I call on Dr. Joyce Meyer. I call on Dr. Joel Osteen. To rebuke the tares in the church. I call on Dr. Tony Evans, who has and I call on Dr. Dwight McKissick in the Southern Baptist Convention to rebuke the tares that they have influence over. And Dr. Tony Evans is the conscience of all evangelicalism. When they really want, when the white folks and the black folks really want to hear something that they need to hear, and they want an authority, they want someone who has authority, they call on Dr. Tony Evans. Dwight McKissick has always been the conscience, has been the conscience of the SBC for many years now. He's been a prophet to these people. And I'm calling on them to rebuke, continue to rebuke them, and come out from among them. That's the greatest rebuke right there. And if they want to start something new, they can. They can call it the Antioch Christians. We were called Christians first at Antioch. I have so much more to say to you, but I'm going to cut it off at that point and ask you a question, dear friend. If you were to die today, where would you go, heaven or hell? How would you answer that question? If you answer it by saying, I would go to hell, then keep on listening in a very real sense. Pardon me. If you answer, I don't know, keep on listening. If you answer, well, I've been in church all my life, you definitely need to keep on listening. So if you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your soul's salvation from the pain and power of sin and the eternal punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned against God, and that's a fact. We have told lies before, haven't we? We have stolen things before, haven't we? Tell the truth and shame the devil. We have lusted after and coveted after people and things instead of seeking first the kingdom of God. We have dishonored our parents and disobeyed our parents, haven't we? I'm saying haven't we because I'm in the same boat as you are. Yeah, but you're the preacher. Surely you have not. Yes, I have. I've done worse than that. And I want you to know, I'm just a beggar telling other beggars where the bread is. You have not lived as evil of a life as I have before I got saved. So if God can save me, God can save you. We have dishonored God by taking His name in vain. Have you ever cursed using God's name? I have. Before I got saved. Then after I got saved, when somebody said it around me, I rebuked them. They were lost. Yeah, you probably wouldn't be wise to do that today. You'd probably get shot. I remember one time when I was in the Air Force, I had gotten saved, and man, I was flying high in the Lord, and somebody said GD around me in the mess hall, and we were in line to go get our food. I said, man, don't you say that. Don't use God's name like that, man. And back in those days, people would listen to you. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Pope has. The Dalai Lama has. The pastor of the largest church in the United States has. Joel Osteen. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Is this not true in every area of life? In the home life, people who do wrong and disobey, they get punished, they get chastisement, or they should. On your job to this day, as old and big and bad as you are, you do something wrong on that job and not address people properly, or you come in late all the time, you're going to be punished, like get fired. Grown people driving down the road, 40 years old, 50 years old, speeding just 5 miles above the speed limit. They get pulled over by the police. They get chastised with a ticket. And worse than that, got to appear in court. Nobody wants to be bothered with that, but you're going to stop and you're going to be bothered with it because you don't want to get your license pulled. There's punishment for sin, disobedience and crimes, always, always. And do not think you're going to get away with breaking God's Ten Commandments. I just named five. No, that has to be paid for. And how will it be paid for? Well, it has already been paid, and I'm going to tell you about that. Jesus Christ paid for it on the cross, and you need to believe in Him. Or you will pay for it in that awful place called hell. And that leads me to my third point. Accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. You must understand this is eternal hell. This is a real place. This is not a figment of your imagination. Jesus Christ did not play games. In fact, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet, any apostle, any writer in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. And sadly, he preached more on hell than most preachers living today combined. Jesus Christ, yes, he is loving, but Jesus Christ is a hellfire and brimstone preacher. The truth of the matter is Jesus Christ would not be allowed in most churches today. And if he got into a few, they will kick him out. Even though he's the head of the church. There's a strange verse in the Bible where Jesus was knocking on the door. Most churches today go on without Jesus. They have their programs, they have their agendas, and they go on without Jesus. Some are trying to go on without Jesus in this plague, when Jesus put the plague on them, because he said, those I love, I rebuke and chasten. Sin has to be paid for. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Hell is a real place. Jesus Christ preached on it many times. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. Hell is bad news. And you're going to hell right now. As I speak, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins. Hell is bad news, my dear friend, but I have some good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. You can get saved from hell today. You can get your eternal life insurance policy already paid for through the blood of Christ and signed in His blood for you. You have insurance. You have car insurance. You have house insurance. You have life insurance and you have health insurance. But you don't have eternal life insurance. And that's the main one you ought to have. Because that's the only one that can make a difference in everything else you're doing, even on this earth, and save your soul from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with Him. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and He will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and thou, you, shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven to be with the Lord. It is a free gift. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough work or time to pay for it. It is a free gift. So if you're willing to receive the free gift of salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, call on His name. Pray and ask Him to save you, and He will save you. Follow me in prayer, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I admit that I am a sinner, and I confess that I have sinned against You, and I have done evil in Your sight. For the preacher is right, I have committed those sins. And I understand that I deserve to be punished and to go to hell for my sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, my faults, and my failures. As I now believe with all of my heart in Your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith, I believe in You, Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that You suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. Holy Father God, I may not understand it all, but I believe it all. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins. And help me to turn from my evil ways and my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For I pray it in your name, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross to pay your sin debt, was buried and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you to grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book, free of charge, titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us and let us know at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of the other emails that may be on your platform, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you to grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. If the Lord should tarry his coming and allow us to live, we'll see you tomorrow morning around 8 o'clock Central Time once again. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for your holy gospel. We praise you and we thank you for leaving behind for us your words that we can learn from and live by and know where we stand. And we pray now, Lord, that you would take your holy word and burn it into the hearts of millions as it travels around the world, directed as you see fit by your sovereign will. Save millions, revive millions of Christians. Glorify your holy name, lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to keep our hearts and minds stayed on you throughout the remainder of this day. Help us, Lord, to pray without ceasing. Help us to resist the devil that he would flee from us. Help us to do your work and will and continue to serve you throughout this day. For your glory, praise, and honor, lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time. Why Jesus loved me.